वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णसागुरले श्रीमाते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशचारणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वसुधि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Verse 23. Drishta maya devi vibho kila dishna panam Ayusriya vibhava icchati yanjanoyam Yesmat pitu kupita hasa vijambita bhru Vispurjatena lalita sa tu te narastaha. Krishna have been seen practically maya by me divi in the higher planetary systems vibho oh my lord akila all dishnapanam the chiefs of different states or planets ayu duration of life shriya opulences vibhava glories ichati desire, yan, all of which, janayam, these people in general, ye, all of which, asmat pitu, avar father Hiranyakasipu, kupitahasa, by his critical laughing, vijrimbita, being expanded, bru, of the eyebrows, Ispurjatena, simply by the feature, Lulita, pulled down, sa, e, tu, but, te, bayu, nirasta, completely vanquished. Translation, my dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to the higher planetary systems for a long duration of life, opulence, and enjoyment. And I have seen all of these through the activities of my father. When my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movements of his eyebrows. Yet my father, who was so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment. Purport, within this material world, one should understand by practical experience the value of material opulence, longevity, and influence. We have actual experience that even on this planet, there are many great politicians and military commanders like Napoleon, Hitler, Subhas Chandra Bose, and Gandhi, but as soon as their lives were finished, their popularity, influence, and everything else were finished also. Prahlad Maharaj formally gathered the same experience by seeing the activities of Hiranyakasipu's great father. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj did not give any importance to anything in this material world. No one can maintain his body or material achievements forever. A Vaishnava can understand that nothing within this material world, not even that which is powerful, opulent, or influential, can endure. At any time, such things may be vanquished. And who can vanquish them? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should conclusively understand that no one is greater than the Supreme Great. Since the Supreme Great demands, Savar Dhamma Paritya Ja Mamekam Sharanam Braja, every intelligent man must agree to this proposal. One must surrender unto the Lord to be saved from the wheel of repeated birth, death, old age, and disease. Translation, my dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to the higher planetary systems for a duration of life, opulence, and enjoyment. But I have seen all of these through the activities of my father. When my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movements of his eyebrows. Yet my father, who was so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment. So, Prahlad here expresses this idea of the control of the Supreme Lord over everything, including the material world, by giving the example of his own father. So, of course, Hiranyakasipu is a very outstanding example of ambition for longevity, power, and wealth. And in fact, he went to great extents of austerity to get this. And he managed to conquer over the Devatas. The Devatas were afraid when he moved his eyebrow. So, in terms of material acquisitions, he had gained a lot. And this is what most people in the material world aspire for. Why do they work so much all day? Because they want to get money, power, enjoyment, etc. Same as Hiranyakasipu. Of course, most people do not go to the extent of Hiranyakasipu, and they don't try by wrong means. They just work very hard and try to get some money to get their power and their enjoyment. Nevertheless, everybody has that same desire for enjoyment in the material world through long life, wealth, etc., power, etc. But, as we see from the case of Hiranyakasipu, it is not permanent. It will disappear. And no matter how much Hiranyakasipu tried to avoid this by getting different conditions from Lord Brahma, it failed. He still lost his kingdom, his power, his enjoyment, and his lifespan. So, two factors are at work. One is the law of karma, which does not allow anyone to live forever. You have a lifespan, and the more punyas you do, the more longer lifespan you can live, etc. And the more sins you do, the shorter your lifespan is. So that's one factor, which will determine our enjoyment and our lifespan, etc. The other factor is the direct will of the Lord. Normally, the Lord does not directly interfere. He lets the law of karma operate. And according to your activities, you get the result. So this is good for most people. It gives them a sort of education on what they should do and what they should not do. Then we get extreme cases. The extreme case is Hiranyakasipu. Extreme austerities by which he got extreme benedictions to conquer over the Devatas even. When the Devatas are actually in control of distributing the karma to people. So he got control over the Devatas, and Devatas were afraid of him because of his great austerities and benediction from Lord Brahma. So, in extraordinary cases, then the Lord himself will intervene. And that is the case here with Hiranyakasipu. It's not an ordinary case of simply a person doing some activities, getting results, and suffering karmas of one sort or another. So, because this particular person interfered with the whole operation of the material world, and even the law of karma, so to speak, by disturbing the Devatas, the Lord interfered. And he directly killed Hiranyakasipu. In either case, whether it is the law of karma, or whether it is the direct intervention of the Lord, ambitions in the material world are there, but they can never make one eternally happy. So Brahma, of course, is the highest person in the universe, and he also cannot give benedictions for immortality. No immortal happiness. He cannot give that benediction. So what to speak of the people in the material world like Hiranyakasipu, etc. They cannot also enjoy these things. So it is the very nature of the material world not to have eternal life and eternal happiness. It's built into the material world. And therefore we have this description of the creation and destruction of the material world. Quite often in the Bhagavatam, there's a description of how the Lord glances over material energy and it produces elements form into universes, and Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enters and produces Brahma, and Brahma creates the planets for all the living entities and the bodies for the living entities, and then they go on like this, and then finally the Lord destroys everything. So on the huge scale, even of Brahma's lifetime, it doesn't last, it is all destroyed. And then what to speak of within the lifetime of Brahma, in Brahma's day, everything gets destroyed again. Even the planets of the Devatas are destroyed at the end of Brahma's day. And everything has to be recreated the next day. So everything is temporary. And then within the day of Brahma, again, we get these floods that occur every 71 yuga cycles after every Manvantara. Then there's a big flood that happens. It disturbs everything. And then within the Manvantara, we have the yuga cycles. And everything decays until we get a Kali Yuga. So 71 times in a Manvantara, we get a cycle of creation, destruction from Satya Yuga to Kali Yuga. And then after Kali Yuga is finished, nothing's good, so the Lord restores things back to Satya Yuga. And it all decays again. So then we have the Yuga cycles. And then within that, then we have the lifespans of the individuals, living entities, born and dying in this place. So they continually there is creation and destruction going on in the material world. And it's all operating according to the will of the Lord. So the big time scales are there automatically. No one can interfere with that. And then when we get to the individual level, they have creation and destruction in terms of birth and death. This is governed by the law of karma. So everybody has to die. So as Prabhupada mentions here, Napoleon dies, Hitler dies, Subhas Chandra Bose dies, Gandhi dies, everybody dies. No matter what fame or whatever power they get, it's finished eventually. So for these persons, it's simply law of karma. They cannot have an eternal life in the material world. The law of karma gives them a certain lifespan and it's finished. That's all. So this is so for most people in the material world. They're limited by the law of karma and what they can do. And then we get the exceptional case like Hiranyakasipu, who disturbs the world so much that the Lord himself personally interferes and he kills Hiranyakasipu or Hiranaksha, or these are the great demons. So the Lord makes provision for material world should be maintained, etc. And when a living entity is born, the Lord supplies things to him so he can live his lifespan. But a material body is naturally not eternal. It's the nature of the material world. So the lesson to learn is we should not strive for happiness through these material means, because ultimately it will be frustrating. We won't have to give it up eventually, everything. So we should learn through the examples. Unfortunately, people don't. So that was the question asked by the yaksha to Yudhisthira. What is the most astonishing thing in this material world? And then Yudhisthira answered, the most astonishing thing is that everybody knows that everybody else dies, but that everyone thinks, I'm not going to die. And they go on living happily, trying to be happy in the material world, not preparing that at one time they're going to die. So, though logically, yes, material body is temporary, everybody doesn't think like that. They think, oh no, nothing's going to happen to me. And I can enjoy, and I keep on enjoying, and keep on enjoying in this way. So this is the illusion in the material world. To break that illusion, therefore, we have the scriptures. So this is one method. Yes, scriptures will point everything out. Still, people won't listen to scriptures either. So what is the other method? Experience. And therefore, even if you try to avoid death, you have to face death eventually. Well, that's unfortunate, because if people aren't prepared and suddenly they die, then it's a miserable experience. So scriptures tried to warn us that the whole thing is useless anyway. But we will discover that only at the last moment if we disregard scriptures or any advice. So experience itself will teach us. However, even the experience does not teach people in many cases. And that is why everyone keeps getting reborn in the material world, because they don't learn. They learn the first time, they're born, oh yeah, this is ridiculous. Why should I go through this whole process when I'm going to die anyway? Why would they take another birth? They would say, oh, this is useless. And they would strive to get out. But no, they don't do that. They take another birth, and again they repeat the process. And at the end they regret, oh yeah, that was useless. But again they forget, the next lifetime they continue again. Eventually, a few people, as human beings, are a little intelligent. Then they realize, yes, it is all hopeless. Then they go to scripture. But the vast majority don't. They continue this whole process, birth after birth after birth, again and again and again. So this is the unfortunate position of ignorance. Even the human being who's supposed to be intelligent usually is ignorant. And he won't understand this fact of temporary nature of life. So this is actually a provision made in the material world by the Supreme Lord to educate us. So we'll understand material world is not a good place to live in. That's his whole purpose. And therefore he makes a short lifespan. You can't live forever. It has an end. So when we realize that as human beings, then we begin to inquire, well, if material life is not so good, what is the meaning of life? What is the goal of life, etc.? Then we can begin spiritual life. So, there is a permanent disadvantage in the material world. It's built into the material world by the Lord for this particular purpose, to make us realize that this is not our natural position. The jiva's natural position is to enjoy eternally, to have eternal happiness. And everything in the material world does not satisfy that. So that's the realization we get from the material world. Once we get the realization the material world is not a very good place to live in, then we can inquire what is better than the material world. Then we have scripture. So such a person is willing to listen to the scripture, listen to the advice, etc. So this whole arrangement of temporary enjoyment in the material world is an arrangement by the Lord to make us realize its very nature, that it is not a place to live in. So, Prahlad learned, of course, from scriptures. He learned from Narada Muni, etc. And he also observed in his own life the great example of Hiranyakasipu. How useless it is to strive for these great ambitious goals of controlling the whole universe or living forever, etc. In 1 second, the Lord completely smashes that dream. And Hiranyakasipu was dead. So, this was a good illustration by the Lord personally of the futility of material life. Hiranyakasipu strove for ultimate perfection in the material world, and very easily Nrsimhadev vanquished him. And he had Hiranyakasipu had a very ignoble death, torn apart by the claws of Nrsimhadev. So, a great lesson to learn, the complete futility of material acquisitions. The karma itself will take everything, and in extraordinary cases, the Lord himself will take everything away. Brahma has a death. All the inhabitants will have to go somewhere when that planet disappears at the destruction of the universe. Some may get liberated and go to Vaikuntha. Some will wait until the next universe, then they get born again, like that. So, and they all have to, all their planets are destroyed. They also, their bodies, they have to give up their material bodies eventually. So relatively speaking, yes, long life compared to us, but for them it's only 100 years. Just like our 100 years is 100 years, their 100 years is also like that. And then they have to give it up. It's eternal happiness, eternal bliss. There is no destruction of bodies. Everything is spiritual. In the material world, everything is temporary. All the forms are temporary, including our bodies. Spiritual world, everything's eternal. Nothing is destroyed. So the happiness is eternal, the activities are eternal, the bodies are eternal, the forms are eternal, the actions are eternal, everything's eternal. In the case of the Devatas, yes, we cannot criticize them. They are servants of the Lord. They got that position because they are devotees. Not the highest devotees. They still have material bodies, but they're devotees of the Lord. So if they do make mistakes, we cannot criticize that. We can attribute that to the will of the Supreme Lord. After all, they are in a sattvic position up there, whereas in the material world here, we're in a very rajasic position. So generally, it's the will of the Supreme Lord. And like in the case of Brahma, where he gets bewildered, at the beginning of the creation, the Lord promised, in this lifetime, you will not be bewildered. So therefore, the bewilderment is only the Lord's will. We cannot blame Brahma for anything. So that is there. As for devotees in the material world doing sadhana bhakti, technically, yes, all the karma has been destroyed. Even in the case of Ajamil, all the karma was destroyed. He wasn't even a devotee. He just chanted the holy name once. Exceptions, of course, are there. If one commits aparads, then that doesn't completely wipe out the karmas, etc. And it can create an obstacle in our bhakti also, the aparads. But the other factor is that there's an appearance of karma. for devotees, even for praying bhaktas in the material world. They still have a material body. So it looks like, hey, he's got a material body, therefore he has to have karma. Technically, no. However, it's the Lord that maintains the appearance of karma. He maintains the material body of a prem bhakta also in the material world. What to speak of the bodies of others who are not prem bhaktas, but even for the prem bhakta who should have no karma, he keeps the body there for the prem bhakta as well. So that isn't only an appearance, it's not real karma. It's under the Supreme Lord only. So by the Lord's will, he keeps an appearance of karma there for the prem bhaktas and even for the other devotees, even for Ajmil. He had no karmas, but there was an appearance of karma. It looked like he was an ordinary sinful brahmana, even after he named his son Narayan and chanted the name and removed all his karmas. But it is said, none of his activities after that point had any effect. They did not produce sinful activities. It was like a snake with no teeth, and he's trying to bite you, and no poison coming out. So he did all of his sinful activities, no karma. So it is an appearance of karma, activities and karmas, etc. He didn't have any. So therefore, when Yamaraj came to Yamadutas came, they couldn't touch him because there was no karmas, and they were shocked. We saw him do the activities. Even after he named Sundarayan and chanted Narayan's name, he was still doing sinful activity. We saw that. How can it be that he's free of all the karmas? No effect, all destroyed. So then all the activities after that, even after naming his son Narayan, is still no effect. So it looked like he was still in the material world, but actually he was free of karma. So there's an appearance only of karma. Was that the son of Kunti? Who's the second son? Oh, it was Karna, was it? Yeah, so Yudhishthira, what about him? Anyway, Yudhishthira does not have a material body. He's an eternal associate of the Lord. So whatever appears to us as sin is not sin. And if he goes to Svargaloka, that is also not his goal. He actually goes to the spiritual world. He's eternally in the spiritual world also. And he appears in the material world, and he may appear to go to Svargaloka, he may appear to commit sinful activities, but no, he is not touched by the material world at all. He is actually an eternal associate of the Lord. So that again is appearance only. Well, yeah, technically, all the karmas are destroyed. If one commits aparads, then, and Ajamil didn't commit any aparads because he just did it accidentally and he didn't have any ill feeling towards the Lord at all. He just was sinful, that's all. So, no aparads, so therefore, if we had to do aparads, nam aparads, or Vaishnava aparads, or seva aparads, etc., then that process slows down and we go through anartha nivritti gradually. And all the karmas are destroyed by the end of a shakti. But after he named his son Narayana, he was not thinking, oh, I will commit these simple activities because I'm chanting the name of Narayana. He didn't think like that. So we had no sin on that regard either. No, he destroyed all his karmas, past, present, future. Great power of chanting the holy name, even accidentally. Yeah, he didn't do any offenses. That's why he had that effect. If we commit offenses, then all the karmas are not destroyed.
Hold that up.